It is my singular privilege and honor to at this point invite to the podium the Chancellor and the Chairman of the Adulam Christian Network Bible Seminary to the pulpit.
Hallelujah. Going by the instruction that the Lord gave us, we are supposed to disciple every creature. And we are committed to that task. And we trust that the Lord will help us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for everyone that is standing here, having gone through this program. Put an eye on each one of them. Derive pleasure from their lives and be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. So my task for this morning is to give every participant in this meeting today an Adulam experience. So I'm exposing you to a lecture. So let's assume that you are a student. I want to give you a prototype lecture, the kind of things that we dispense in this house. Hallelujah. So we are doing, setting the platform for the understanding of the Old Testament. So that's my emphasis. Setting the platform for the understanding of the Old Testament. First of all, it's needful to understand that the Bible is a library, it's a collection of books. And the Old Testament was written in 1,000 years. It means that God was speaking through inspiration to the functionaries for 1,000 years to secure the document. There are two ways and two platforms that we must pay attention to if we want to have an accurate understanding of the Old Testament. The first platform is the geographical platform, except we put our study of the Old Testament within the context of its geography. It will sound like a story that has no reference. What gives you a three-dimensional insight into the instructions of the Holy Spirit that are captured within the Old Testament is understanding the geography. That's the first anchor. We must understand the geography. So I'm going to take us through a route this morning to acquaint us with the geography, the layout of the geography within the scope of the Old Testament. The second anchor that you must have in proper position in order for you to understand the vast wealth that is trapped within the lawn of the Old Testament is history. So we have a geographical anchor. We also have a historical anchor. If you are a historian, you will understand that there are two factors that are required in order for us to establish history. Are you with me? That's why we have archaeologists. They provide evidences to support historical claims. In my study in recent times, I found out that the book of the Bond Woman is historically wrong. And what I mean by that is, the places it quotes that those things took place, the places are wrong and the time is wrong. So in my opinion, that book is an intellectual fraud. And that is the truth. If we cannot establish it in history, it is utopian. It's a concept in the mind of a deceiver. May the Lord give you understanding. So we need to do some historical lessons so that we can put the framework of events within the location of their historical representation. When you do that, the entire layout of the Old Testament becomes a very bogus delivery of treasure. And I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we are going to go into geography first. If I exhaust all the time on geography, then you will study the history. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. So this is a prototype lecture. It's a kind of thing you will find when you show up for Adullam. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Geography. Can you underline the word land? It means that this man's existence, his operation, his activity was going to be trapped in a certain geographical context. And if we are incapable of establishing that context, you might not understand how that specific context is critical in the understanding of the dealings of God in the lives of that man. So critical to the study of the man Abraham is a certain land. That land that Abraham settled was not a function of his assessment of the agricultural potential of the area. It was a prescription that came from God. So if we are going to understand the way the man sojourned in that place and the way his descendants sojourned in that place, we need to first realize that it was an act of God to bring that man into that land, making that land the platform to understand the activities and the dealings of God on his life. I came with three maps, but maybe I'll use two. We can't talk about that land effectively. This is map three. Okay, yeah, we'll start. This is map one. I found a clearer option of the map, of this map, than if I had that option before this lecture. It will be that map that will be on the screen this morning. But because the time was not on my side, so many things we had to put together, we have this map. This is the map of the Middle East. I'd like you to take a good look at it, because there is something critical about this map that you need to understand. Don't forget the sovereign instruction of God. You have to come out of your country. You must come out from your kindred. You must come out from your father's house. How you go to a land, and that land you do not know, I will have to show you. Are you with me? And so this is the map of the Middle East. There are a few features here that I'll need to show you. Because when you look, the problem with this map is that it is not adequately empowered with the identification of locations as I would have wanted. So I need to use my own map. Just leave that map, but I will use mine. Hallelujah. First thing I'd like you to understand in interpreting and understanding the geography of that location where God sent Abraham is one factor. And the factor is what we call the Fertile Crescent. This is Egypt. You can see the River Nile there. You can see the Mediterranean Sea there. You can see Jericho, which is part of Israel. This portion of the map is Arabia. That place up there is Europe. The place up here is Asia. So we have Asia, we have Europe up there, we have Arabia down here, we have Africa here, and Israel is in between. From this part of the map to the other part of the map, encompassing Nile, encompassing Cyprus, encompassing Syria, encompassing Assyria, encompassing Nineveh, and encompassing the river Tigris, is what we call the Fertile Crescent. There were two world powers that were side by side Israel. One was Egypt, and the other was Assyria, that eventually became Babylon. And Israel was in the middle. And the reason for most of the conflicts that took place within that location was a desire to master and to control the Fertile Crescent. And Israel was lodged in the heart of the Fertile Crescent. Because of the strategic nature of that location, are you still with me? Are you still in the lecture? All right. Please stay with me. Help me tell your neighbor, stay. Well, I see some of you wandering out. You are in transit. Just stay. Amen. Because of the strategic nature of where Israel is situated, there is you can experience a prototype of any part of the world inside of Israel. You can experience the prototype of Europe in Israel. You can experience the prototype of the desert in Israel. You can experience the prototype any part of the world whatsoever. There is a miniature aspect of that part that you can trace to this location that God sovereignly directed Abraham to dwell, that his destiny will be prosecuted within that location. Egypt is to this way, Assyria is to that way, and it happens to be that Israel lies in between. And that already creates an atmosphere for conflict and warfare. And I will tell you why God deliberately domiciled them within the crossfires of battle. May the Lord give you understanding. Because someone here might be saying, why is it that there are so many warfares around my life, contentions and all of that stuff? When God decided to locate a piece of real estate to give to his people, it was in the heart of a location that had the potential for war. May the Lord give you understanding. So that's the Fertile Crescent. And all the world powers want to master the Fertile Crescent. And these world powers are much more than the Israelites in terms of population and in terms of military might. And the only way Israel will survive in that location is to align with God absolutely. Second thing I need to show you, which is the second map. So this is the map of Israel. Now, I'd like you to take note of the red dots. Can you see the red dots? These red dots are trade routes. Now, this way, there is a massive, this at the foot of this place, there is a massive cluster of Baltic rocks. And because of the cluster of Baltic rocks, the options of your navigation path are not many. You will have to navigate up this way if you want to go to Asia, and the nodal point there is Megiddo. And those going to Asia will branch to Dan and Damascus to the other side. If you want to go to Europe, you need to pass through Megiddo, and then you go forward to Tyre and Sidon before you go into Europe. If you want to go to Arabia, this is the path to Arabia, and this is the path that goes to Egypt. I would like to show you something quickly. In view of the trade routes that are fastened on this land, there are two things that you need to notice biblically. The first thing is that there are two sides in Israel. The first side is the southern side. That's where Jerusalem is. Are you with me? That's where the southern people are the custodians of culture. And then the northern side is international, and the southern side is national. Because the northern side is the only access route because of the Baltic Rock, it makes it an international preferred option of trade route. So the northern Israel is international. Southern Israel is national. So northern Israel is called biblically Galilee. And southern Israel, where Jerusalem is, where the custodians of culture dwell, is called Judea. Don't forget that. The northern Israel is called what? Oh, you're not with me. So if I ask you a simple question, which set of people pushed for Jesus to be killed? The greatest fans that Jesus had were in Galilee. So when you hear the Jews, it doesn't mean an Israelite. It means the dwellers in Judea. Is that clear? So it is the Jews that crucified Jesus, not the Galileans. Can you help me with the scripture quickly? Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in what? Galilee of the international. That's why it's called Galilee of the nations, because that part of Israel is international. It means that if you stay in Israel, you can actually watch the whole world pass by, the then world. So it was called Galilee of the nations because the nations will need to pass through Galilee to transit to other parts of the world. And Israel in that day was the center of the world. If you had to go to Africa, you will need to pass through Israel. If you had to go to Arabia, you will need to pass through Israel. If you wanted to go to Asia, you will need to pass through Israel. But it was the northern part of Israel that was international. And so the Bible speaks about Galilee in the nations. Galilee of the nations. That is the reason why the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali eventually became victims of darkness. Because when the nations are coming with their idols, they are coming with their gods, they are going to pass through Zebulun. They are going to pass through Naphtali. And the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, therefore, are exposed to the possibilities of interfacing with false gods. Are you still with me? Now, those in Jerusalem were very traditional, very national. And if there was a spiritual renewal, it was always, almost always, it almost always came from Jerusalem and spread into other parts of Israel. If there was a decline, if there was degradation, if their faith was challenged, then it means that the new technology of darkness was smuggled in through Galilee. Because Galilee is Galilee of the nations, the international part of the strip of Israel. Is that clear? Now, so when you study your Bible, so I need to give you a few references. Maybe it will give you some insight. Can we do Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, verse number 5, and verse number 22? So we'll do Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of what? Judea. So which part is this? South. Don't forget that. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is where? It's south. All right. Verse 5. And they say unto him, Bethlehem of... Can you do 4 first? Let's do 4, then we'll do 5. Verse 4. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of what? Where is that? So Jesus was born in the south. Jesus was born in the Jewish terrain, the cultural platform. That was where he was born. Are you with me? In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. 22. But when he heard, okay, go to 21. And he arose, okay, go to 20. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. Why? For they are dead which sought the young child's life. The platform where Jesus was ordained to fulfill his ministry was in the land of Israel. So that escape to Egypt that took place took him away from the platform of the fulfillment of his destiny. And so the angel brought breaking news to Joseph and said to him, it's time for you to bring this child into the land. Hallelujah. He cannot fulfill his destiny outside of the land. So they came, they were instructed to bring the child back to the land, and the information was that the people that sought the child's life are dead. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Yes, next verse. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the path of what? The north. Right? So I'd like you to see, if you understand this geography, you'll be able to place scripture. So let me give you one scripture to tackle. This one is your own assignment now. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. You are going to interpret this one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from, where's that? To and from Decapolis, where's that? And from Jerusalem, where's that? And from Judea, where's that? And from beyond Jordan, where's that? Oh my God. If you are bold, please provide answers for my question. No, most of you read these things, you cannot put it within a context. It's just like a poem. Where is the usher? Arm yourself with the microphone. Let's extract. Most of you think the Bible is not intellectual. You think you read soil science and you have a PhD. You don't know the rigor that is required for you to gain mastery in the Word of God. Who is coming with the microphone? I need to extract, because that's how a class should be. We need to extract feedback. Let me know if you know what I'm teaching. Let's try again. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. Where's that? And from Decapolis. Where's that? And from Jerusalem. Where's that? And from Judea. Where's that? And from beyond the Jordan. Do you still remember beyond the Jordan? Galilee of the Gentiles. That's not. So it means that Jesus became a unifying factor for Israel. People came from all quarters. People came from every realm to identify with Jesus. And so when you understand the geography, you can appreciate the kind of announcement that had to take place in the spirit in order for Jesus' ministry to be accepted among the people. Hallelujah. In view of the above, just like I said, northern Israel is called Galilee. Southern Israel is called what? Judea. And Judea is the place for the Jews. Right? So not every Israelite is a Jew, but every Israelite is a Hebrew. And Abraham was called the Hebrew, not the Jew. May the Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. So the question is this: why did God choose that piece of real estate to become the platform to host the destiny of Israel? Why? One, God planted his people in that strip of real estate so that all the world could see and understand that they were a model that will advertise God by their customs, their compliance to God. They will become an advertisement for God to the nations of the world. That vision is in the book of Exodus chapter 19 from verse number 3 to 6. Exodus 19 verse 3 to 6. You see, part of the encounters that Moses had with God was to give him an insight into the kind of nation that God wanted. For instance, India is a nation of philosophy. The United Kingdom is a nation of education. Nigeria is a nation of corruption. Unfortunately. Hallelujah. I have to check with my people. Unfortunately, according to statistics, Nigeria is a nation of corruption. But not forever. The prophets foretold that there is coming a move of God that will change our fabric. But as it stands at the moment, people, other nations need to come and learn corruption from us. In order for you to get a card in the hospital, there's a procedure. In order for you to fly from Lagos Airport, there is one man there, he won't wear uniform, but you need to go there and drop 1,000. So when I came to fly, I fly through Abuja Airport. So one of those days we were to go to Kenya and we had to fly through Lagos Airport. And I'm a giver. So anywhere I go, I give. So when I came there, I gave them of my own free will. And then the guy now asks, how many are we? I say, okay, this person is with me, this person is with me. Then now say, the money I gave is not enough. Hey! Then I asked him to return the money. So, you know, it's a syndicate. So they called them. Then one guy now started looking at my passport. I said, if you know how many years, this rank you are wearing, if I were in your establishment, this is not the rank I'll be wearing. He now became afraid. He now called the guy up. I said, this guy seems to... So they couldn't tell whether I was a general because I don't have beard. This guy can be. There's a challenge. So they stamped us and allowed. I gave you for my own free will, but I had to demand for recovery because he felt it was a right to get your passport stamped so that you can travel. There is a protocol around it. And Nigeria happens to be the most religious nation in the world, not Saudi Arabia. May the Lord give you understanding. It will change in our lifetime. So, God wanted to give Moses an idea of the kind of nation that he wanted to establish. And we find that in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Now, verse 6 is very important. But you see, are you with me? These are prescriptions. These are national prescriptions. These are not individual insights. This is a national concept. It says, if you as a nation decide to obey the voice of the Lord your God, what will I do? I will make you a peculiar treasure. God wanted advertisement. He wanted his kingdom to be advertised to the nations of the world because Israel was in a strategic trade route, a nodal point in the civilization of the earth. He wanted to advertise what happens to people that are under his government to the nations of the world. So as they travel by, they will see a uniqueness. They will see that they are peculiar. They will see that they are in their own class. And that will make other nations want to be like Israel. And then they will teach the nations that it is our God that has made us this way. The vision for the nation is in verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So, whereas India is a nation of philosophy, the United Kingdom, a nation of education, Ghana, a nation of gold. Since Nigeria's status is changing, we will not make reference to it anymore. It's a changing status. And that's why you are here. That's why I'm here. When we colonize the grassroots, then the nation will begin to reflect a new light. And that's why we will labor. We'll keep laboring. You might not know that prayer is building. A tank of prayer is building. It's building that will swallow up the darkness that the people that covenanted this nation have created. And a new light will spring from the heart of Christ in the life of every functionary of God that is domiciled in every territory. And the very spirit that drives our nation will be changed. Israel was supposed to be a special kind of nation, a nation of priests. That means every Israelite must understand his own unique place of service And when you come to pass through Israel, you will see that everyone is in the service of their God. That's what puts them apart. That's what makes them a unique national specimen. A nation of priests. There's never been a nation like that upon the face of the earth. Israel was going to be God's advertisement. And that's why God put them in that strategic location. So that men will come and marvel at the spectacle of what a nation they have become under the government of God. That's not all. Number two. Why did he put them there? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. They were placed there so that the nations would see what blessedness comes to a people that hearkens and obeys the voice of God. I hope you know what makes a man blessed is that he hearkens to the voice of God and he obeys. That's the key to blessing. You are someone that recognizes the authority of the word of God, and because you recognize the authority of the word of God, you apply yourself to obey it. That is the key to blessing. The Bible speaks about blessing. Abraham never became who he became just because God promised him. Oh my. Oh my. I need to show you that from the book of Romans. He did not become the man he became because he received the promise. There were diligent things that he had to do in order for him to become the outcome of that which God promised him. So when you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, you become a candidate for the blessings of God. So part of the reasons why God put them in that place is to show all nations what happens to a man that the blessedness that accrues to a man that hearkens to the voice of God. That's not all. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. They were placed there to see the curses that will come upon the people of God, just in case they decide to rebel against the voice of God. Your life is a specimen, it's a theater. And when you are in sync with God, God uses you as an advertisement. When you are out of sync with God, God still uses you as an advertisement. In the first case, it's an advertisement of a man that is blessed because he hearkens to the voice of God. In the second case, an advertisement of what happens to a man that is outside of alignment with God. So Israel was given that land so that they could function as a theater to advertise God. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
If we go to the New Testament, you will see how that you are God's advertisement. I think Ephesians. You are God's advertisement. Oh my God. God wants to advertise. That's why you're here. All right, let's pick a scripture from Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. He said, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It means that what God will be doing in your life is not just going to be a marvel to men. It is also going to be a marvel to principalities. Principalities want to update their technology. They will need to come and look at your life and see the ordering of things that proceed from your life because you are aligned with the Spirit of God. Because your technology is 10 steps ahead of the devil. Just like David said, he was 10 steps, he was more intelligent. He had 10 times the capacity of his teachers because he was aligned with God. Every believer is supposed to be an advertisement. And as the grace of God begins to multiply in your life, there are things that God will begin to do in your life that is not, you cannot achieve it just because you went and got a PhD. I'm not against a PhD, I'm a scholar. Please take note of that. Hallelujah. And so, by the grace of God, if you type my surname on Google, it's my name that comes out. It means that if you want to know my clan, you have to know me. I say this with all humility. Don't hear the wrong thing. But that is how it is. You have been set up so that through you, do you know how I was mocked because I was a preacher? There was an uncle of mine that was a big guy, big shot. All right? So he will seize any opportunity that was available for him to mock me as a preacher. And I was willing to be right with Jesus because I know, you see, there's no need for us to preach prosperity. I found that. What we need to preach is alignment and stewardship. Because prosperity is a consequence of alignment. It's a seek ye first. I hope you know, we don't preach prosperity and say, prosperity convention. But you need to know how lives have been transformed. We don't put those testimonies on the platform. But on a daily basis, we see God changing the levels of people because God is committed to the advertisement of himself. And you are his theater. So we should teach alignment. We should teach men to hearken to the voice of the Lord, our God. We should teach men not to deviate from his statutes, to order our descendants after us to walk in the ways of God. That's our preoccupation. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And then we teach people stewardship, not prosperity. But what? Stewardship. It is because of stewardship that God says, for you to begin to learn it. That's why he's asking us to give tithe. Right? Because in the Old Testament, the requirement was tithe. In the New Testament, the requirement is consecration. That means in the New Testament, you are God's property, so you cannot own property. But if you don't start from tithe, it will be difficult for you to come to a point where you'll be open to the Spirit's control for consecration. You will argue with God when he makes demands on you. So by starting from time, it's just like before you go to the university, you need to do an examination called ordinary level certificate. That's O level. Then you are considered for admission into the university. So tithing is O level. It's ordinary level. You are saying you are making yourself available for further schooling. Right? Then when you get into the real practice of government, the Holy Ghost can demand anything from your life. Because he paid for you. You were bought with money. So you cannot, you were bought with the money of the blood. So you cannot be claiming that you have property rights when you yourself were bought. But the tithe is a take-up point in preparation for God to take you seriously enough for him to demand everything. We have walked in that level of sacrifice. And as much as we want to model ourselves in simplicity and hide behind the scene, he compelled us to be in limelight. You will not know how many years of hidden sacrifices we have done. Just obeying the Lord. Just walking according to his precepts. And if it happens to be that you are a teacher, you are in custody of revelation, the judgment that will be on your life will be higher. So compliance from teachers are supposed to be higher. And we have modeled life that way. And the Lord, in his wisdom, that labor that is done before him secretly, he has a brilliant way of bringing the consequence into the open. Because he's committed to his intention to advertise himself through his accurate verses. May the Lord give us understanding. If you see me with a jet tomorrow, don't think I'm backsliding. Because as it stands now, the nations we need to cover, if we are going to get visas and going to board Kenya Airways, we'll be late. So in the kingdom of God, it is service that is greatness. So when you hear someone has been promoted, don't think it's the kind of promotion in the world. It means God has given you more assignment, more responsibility. And that may be the reason why he might give you a jet. So that you can meet up. Prosperity is a consequence, not a doctrine. We should teach men alignment. We should teach men stewardship. Because God will not multiply what you are not. You can't manage. Oh, those days, I used to cry out and say, Lord, why is my own message hard? Other people are preaching. The music is good. You see them with white suit doing like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we come. What you put on us is fighting. It's fighting. What is happening? Now I know better. We are saving our generation. And I'm strengthened to fight more. Not for my name. Not for my name, not for my purposes, not to advertise that I have good lingo, to fight for his name and for his kingdom. And every ground that was sold out, considered to the enemy, will be gathered back in the name of Jesus Christ. Should I tell you something? Even if you don't want to prosper, just obey God's voice and be aligned with him, you will prosper. It's a consequence. It's not what you can pick or choose. You will become a peculiar treasure among all nations. So I was telling you about my uncle. He will seize every opportunity to make jest of me as a preacher. But that has ended. It has ended. The last time I saw his missed call, I knew why he wanted to call. There was a situation that desperately needed the healing and anointing. But in my own opinion, if my uncle wants the healing anointing, let him come for service. Do you understand? There are people that traveled from different places to be healed. You see, and they came. So many people came to be healed. So you will need to pay the price. If you have paid the price to visit native doctors, and you transported there, you went there, you fueled your car to go there, if you know that your son has it, you will pay the same price to come. I will not make Jesus cheap before people that have mocked him. No. Pay the price. The day you bring the wheelchair here, then I will say, Abba, Father, can you strengthen yourself in my vessel? But until that, we'll be talking on the phone. How are you? Hey! You are a theater. You are a theater. God wants to be on display. So everywhere he has placed you is a nodal point so that you can shine as light. So this is the first aspect, which is the geography. There are many things that you begin to notice now when you read. When you see Galilee, you know, so this happened in Galilee. Okay. The northerners. So it will begin to give you 3D understanding, depth. I went somewhere it was an NCCF Bible study, and they finished. And they say, I should round up. I say, your Bible study has X axis, it has Y axis, it doesn't have Z axis. There's no depth. This is moral lesson. We need to weep. That was how we need to weep and cry. This one can't change any life. Hallelujah. No Z axis. It's flat, it's on paper. It's existing, it's utopian. It's existing without a reference. No depth. You can't change anybody with moral lessons. May the Lord give you understanding. Since it seems my time is up, so the history aspect, since there's a lamentation in the camp, I will take a little time to do history. This is how the lecture is at Adula. You are a part of a lecture now. This is one lecture. So when you are ready, sign up. Deji from California, sign up. Hallelujah. All right, let's do the historical perspective. Where's my historical map? This is the history of the Bible on display. First of all, God, the first set of leaders that God began with were patriarchs. Then God continued with prophets. Then he continued with princes. And in the days of Jesus, the leaders of Israel were priests. Is that clear? All right. Now, I'd like to show you something quickly. Oh, you're not with me. You're not with me. Please stay with me. All right. So in this first section here, which is Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11, we have creation, we have the fall of man, we have the flood, and we have Babel. And if you notice, at Babel, there were 69 tribes. I hope you know there were tribes before Babel. There were 69 tribes that existed before Babel. You think that, okay, you don't believe. Where's my Bible? There are many things you assume that is not in the Bible. That's what I'm... So that's why you need to come to Bible school. There are scales on your eyes that we need to drop so that you can behold the perfect law of liberty. There were languages before Babel. Genesis chapter 10. Okay. I'll just read one verse of scripture, just one verse. Genesis chapter 10, verse 20. These are the sons. Are you there? 10, verse 20. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nation. Underline tongues. And this is Genesis chapter 10. And Babel is Genesis chapter 11. So, what I'm saying is there were languages before Babel. In fact, there were 69 languages upon the face of the earth. As at the time of the rise of Nimrod. And 69 of the tribes were under the control of Nimrod. It was in this time that God now called Abraham from all of the Chaldees to go to a land that he will show him. So, it was when Abraham left all the Chaldees, I don't know what God did to him, but Abraham became a Hebrew. Abraham was not born a Hebrew. Something happened to his tongue. I don't know what happened. I'm still researching. But Abraham was identified as a Hebrew. And I don't want to press. I will not press. So, Abraham was identified as what? Hebrew means another tribe has been added, making it 70. So God had one tribe Satan had 69 tribes. And he called one man to be the father of one tribe. And in the eyes of God, that was not a disadvantage. It means that if God can get just one person from one family, if he can make you his theater and you begin to shine forth, those people will be disarmed. All he needs is one man. All he needs is one tribe. So this was the rise of the patriarchs. So if you follow our historical chart, and if you need the historical chart, you can drop your email with Chukwuma. Where's Chukwuma? That young man there is called Chukwuma. He will send you the maps and the chart. All right, so God had one tribe. Satan had 69 tribes. And then God's leadership in the earth began to reign through the patriarchs. So we have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob. And I know you know that the next person that picked up the mantle was Joseph. And that accounts from the book of Genesis, chapter 12 to chapter 50. And if you check the texture of the book of Job, you will find that Job was written within this bracket of time. Now, you see, are you still with me? Stay with me. Now, after this, there was a 40-year prophetic silence. It means God was not speaking. Now, the way the Bible was written was in this wise. The things you find in Scripture are the things that found expression when God was speaking. It's not history. So anytime God stopped speaking, it is termed a prophetic silence. Because I know you know that even in heaven there is silence sometimes. Guess what? So God stopped speaking for 400 years, and there is nothing that is documented in the Bible for that period of time. It is called the silence of God. Meanwhile, there were things happening in human history within that time. That was when Egypt was formed. That was when India was formed. That was when China was formed. But there's no mention of all of this in Scripture because at that time, God was not speaking. Is that clear? So the Bible is not a history book. It's history from God's perspective. Oh, you didn't get that. It's history from God's perspective. That's why it's prophetic. If we had captured the history of India, it would be flat. It wouldn't have the stature, the capacity to reference anything that God is doing. So for 400 years, there was a God silence, what we call an inactivity. After which, the prophet Moses rose. So it means leadership passed from patriarchs. Now the days of prophets have begun. And the first notable one in that line happens to be Moses. And the list continues all the way from Moses to Samuel. Hallelujah. Covering books like Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Amen. So after Samuel was the first one that anointed a prince. So the leadership of Israel, the pendulum moved from what? Prophets, and then princes began to rise. The height of the civilization of Israel was in the day of David. And that's why you will see that there are some dotted black lines there leading to David. David as the high king. Everything, every aspect of Israel that God wanted to be in functionality found expression at that pinnacle of the civilization in the days of David. Until this moment, they still reference David. David. If I take you to the prophecy of Hosea, I think we need to look upon it. I guess it's Hosea. Hosea chapter 3, from verse 4 and 5. Please help me, technical people. The activities of God are found within a certain context. And once you can relate with the context, it will be easy for you to access the mind of God. Now, he said, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without teraphim. And afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and what? David their king. But he wasn't talking about the David you know. He's talking about the new David and the greater David. Because Jesus came after the house of David. The covenant of David had to do with a throne. Because David ruled like God. He ruled from God's heart. So God's government was established in the time that David was king. And God decided to cut a covenant with David that from his loins he will bring forth his own king. So that's why Jesus is called the son of David. The civilization reached a tipping point, reached its zenith during the time of David. So David is a reference point for the princes. We have Saul, we have David, we have Solomon, and you know all the kings that followed. Then in the days of Jesus, how many of you still remember Caiaphas and Annas? And the leaders of Israel in that time were priests. You can also see from the chart the books of the Bible that are covered by each season. And after Malachi, there was another 400 years of prophetic silence. The 400 years of prophetic silence is when people like Socrates rose, people like Plato rose, people like Aristotle rose, people like Buddha rose, people like Confucius rose, people like Alexander the Great rose, people like Julius Caesar rose. This 400 years between Malachi and Matthew is, there are some activities that took place. That was the time of the Maccabees. The Maccabees is true history, but it's not prophetic history. It's not a writing because God is active. It was written during the times of God's silence. And that's why the Bible doesn't include activities that took place in that 400 years. I know you must have seen one Bible that has something like Maccabees and it's just confusion. You say they are inspired writings when God was not talking. And to show you how accurate and how wonderful God is, the first silence took 400 years. Second silence took no mathematician would have been wise enough to make this kind of layout. And after this 400 years of silence, get what happens, Jesus shows on the scene. So you can see from the flood, you can see, and all of this that happened, the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, took place. All of this period here, the New Testament and all of that, everything in 100 years. So you could see that time is beginning to speed up. Can you see that from the chart? Oh, you're not with me. Okay. Since you're not with me, it means our lecture. Our lecture has come to me. Our lecture has come to me. I was supposed to read out some events in the Bible so that you can place it within the chart. Because if you cannot place it within history, it is in limbo. And you would lack 3D insight, 3D understanding. You cannot build the things you are reading into modern day reality. It will be suspended. It will be without foundation. It will surprise you to know that this is the work of historians. Historians that have archaeological evidence to prove that the things that the Bible said is true. And when they ran the same test with the book of the bondwoman, they found out something strange. The first thing that they found out was that the geography was a lie. the places they say these activities took place, nothing like that ever happened in those places. That's number one. Because if your grandfather existed, there should be a house he stayed, and no matter how far back into the past, we can find archaeological evidence to point to the fact that a man called Odoma once dwelt here. When all of the science behind history was placed on the writings of that book, first of all, the places were a lie. Meaning that those activities never took place where they said it happened. That's the first. Secondly, the timing was a lie. When you find something that is not in the right place and it's not in the right time, it gives you an idea of the fact that it was made up. Oh, they said the greatest miracle they have is that the book has evolved without any form of infiltration down the line until scholars in the United Kingdom found 28 versions of their book written in Arabic that were different. By the evidence I provided to you, backed up with archaeological facts, hard facts, Jesus, once upon a time, walked this world, and his bones have not been found till this day. I've walked on the streets of Jerusalem. His bones are not there. There are three places where they suspect his grave is, and we went to three of them. You know, when the anointing comes upon me, it comes on my head. That's what happened to me when I visited John Knox's house. As we went upstairs, then one fire began to burn. I knew that an anointed man lived here. I could feel his essence. So when we went to the graves, there was one particular grave we entered. He used to be here, but he's no longer here. If you want to believe a man that died and survived death. Don't believe those whose tombs are still can be identified. That's why we need to teach Bible history, so that you will know that the verity of the things in which you are being instructed. Our hearts might latch firmly onto the things that are most surely believed among us. Now we are sending you forth in the name of our God. What could not subdue our ancestors, the first apostles, will not be able to subdue you. Oh, the name of our God will be your rear guard. Here we honor the prayers that proceed from your lips. He will use you as an instrument to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. I want you to rise on your feet in a moment. And if you are in this house, it is time for us to speak in tongues. The God that is revealed in the Bible, he is the true God. You will never regret walking with him. He will cause your face to shine and empower you. Can we pray for these brethren here? Can we pray for them? He is alive. Amen. He is alive. Jesus is alive. Forever is alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever is alive.
alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus.
In a moment of time, I just want us to exercise ourselves in the spirit. What you have believed is not a lie. He is alive. Is alive. He's 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 alive. Shamenan compela sika braska comena liko verato. A kind of belesco sosomena capra cabalata menaila. Escoces amorote camila. Mambra capatala bavoria. Sheminaita compresceva lanto. Marasco ses amico brate. Cuvesa macaparata bavoria. Basis omenahila. Mahai compela sico fresco falaco bolo. Embro come la pisco prata baboria. A capa sata babora capetusa sasala. A planta sata planta baboria. E a capanzo sela fresco velamina. Prata paisa somena ico brantele. E a babone sempre che te la cura mala mahila. In the name of Jesus. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and thou shalt be changed into another man. Can you ask for a deposit of grace that will transform you
into another man. That moment is here. That moment is here. My compass kufelala until ye be endued. Until ye be endued with power from on high. There is an endowment that comes upon you so that you can represent him. There is an endowment that comes upon us. As some in a cabreca balatamina, Jay compele cosele, Roco Masale, Ambroco de la Vinasa, Ebrosketo in a canta baboria. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And those among you that are already in active ministry, you will not go empty-handed. Were you touched by his testimony? Oh, the Lord comes for you today. He comes for you to empower you, to endure you. Now, while we prayed, I saw the writing, evangelist. So one of you is an evangelist. And God has particular interests about you. So in a moment of time, his hand will come upon that, because I don't even know who the evangelist is. That one among you that is an evangelist. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your hand, your weight, the weight of your glory might come stronger on this evangelist that is in this company. Let your hand descend. Let your hand descend. Let it come strong. Show us this evangelist from this company. Okay, he's coming. Show us this evangelist. Show us this evangelist from this company. And let your hand come on him or her strong. No, ushers, if you will, I don't know the person. I need to speak into the person's life. Maybe you have found the gift of the Spirit. Your spiritual eyes pop open again and again. There is an anointing that can support it. And it will not be a momentary experience. It will be something that you walk in as a standard operational model. So the seer's gift, and the grace that opens eyes. The seer's gift. There is a grace that opens eyes. That gift would rest upon you. It is such as we have received from the Lord Jesus. It is such, oh my God, the seer's gift. It weighs strong upon the heart of one of you. Lord, I ask that they see us gift. The grace to perceive. The grace to see through the Holy Ghost. Let it rest stronger. Let it rest stronger. Let it rest stronger. Let it rest stronger. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Move. Let that grace rest. Let it rest stronger. Let it rest stronger. Stronger in the name of Jesus. Stronger in the name of Jesus. Endowment from God. Endowment from God. At the count of seven, one of your tongues will be loosed
One of your tongues will be loose, and the Lord will ventilate your spirit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Your tongue will be loose, and the anointing is coming upon you. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Stronger. Your tongue will be loose. Your tongue will be loose. Your tongue will be loose. Utterance will be given unto you. Utterance will be given unto you. Utterance will be given unto you. Boldness will come into your spirit. Boldness will come into your spirit. It will come strong in your spirit. It will come strong in your spirit. Now, ushers, I don't know how you will do it, but you will allow them to pass by so that we can lay hands on them. I think we'll go down. Huh? Okay, so ushers, help us. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you. Blow like a mighty wind.
Blow like a mighty wind.
Spirit. Let your spirit fill us. as you passed, I noticed one thing. One of you left fire on my hand. That one that I speak of is called to be a messenger of God that would message to people, things, and to nations. One of you. And the fire of God will come on that person so intensely. Father, that messenger among them. That messenger among them. I ask that you kindle your fire so that I will identify the messenger. Kindle your fire. 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 Okay. He's stepping in now. Kindle your fire. Kindle the fire. Kindle the fire. Kindle the fire. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let your hand come strong upon that vessel. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let your hand come strong. Stronger. 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 Holy Ghost. He will send you. He will put messages in your spirit. He will dispatch you to deliver them. So he sets you apart for that task this morning. I see two ladies in my visions. Two ladies in my vision. Two of you are sitting this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you help me find these two ladies. He will identify you with a fire. Help me find these two ladies. 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 Put your hand on the two ladies in the name of Jesus Christ. Put your hand on those two ladies in the name of Jesus Christ. Put your hand on the two ladies. These two ladies that I speak of, bring them, let me talk to them. You will take messages to kings. You will take messages to rulers. You take messages. As for two of you, he will put burdens upon your life. Burdens that you can only bear when you submit to the spirit of supplication. He will put those burdens. 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 He will put them on you so that you can prosecute them. You can process them. You can process them. Burdens that will immobilize you except you prosecute it. He will take your nights from you. Refuse you to have a good rest so that you can prosecute burdens. Burdens. Not your prayers, but his prayers. Not your prayers, but his prayers. Prayers. Bring them. He's putting bodies. He's redefining your life. He's redefining your life. Now, if you find ushers, if you find them, I want to speak to them. I want to speak to them. Bodies. He will make you carry these bodies. He will make you carry the bodies. Right now, he's reconfiguring. He's reconfiguring your vessel to be able to accommodate bodies. And the flames of God will pass through your body. Will pass through your body to purge your vessel so that you can be separated unto this assignment that he wants you to carry out. The Lord prepares your vessel. Prepares your vessel to carry bodies. 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 The fire of purging will go through some of you. The fire of purging so that it can sanctify your vessel to carry bodies. Kingdom. Kingdom bodies. Kingdom bodies. Kingdom bodies. If you are a point man, this is your moment. You can come. prayer, no? The prayer I have on your life now is that you will walk, you will operate in the walking of miracles. You will operate in the walking of miracles. Miracles will become easy for you to walk in. I see a horn on one of your heads. In fact, I see a horn on Samson. On Samson. And the hand of God will come upon you. So that that horn can be renewed. The grace upon it can be stronger. There's a horn upon your life. For the grace of God to be renewed, the hand of God will descend upon you. To equip you. Ooh. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, grant unto your messengers this grace, that it will become commonplace for them to walk miracles. Walk miracles. Walk miracles. Impossible cases. Afflictions that have reached the terminal stage, to interrupt it and to change it. Strange miracles. Such things that the devil has placed upon men, and it has matured the ability to stop the process and to bring deliverance. Authority in the spirit to speak a thing in your territory, and it will be so. Woo! Let your encounter profile increase. Visitations in the night, angels coming to bring scriptures to you, to bring scriptures to you in your dreams. Go in this thy mind. The Lord will not allow your words to fall to the ground without seeing the light of fulfillment. When you decree a thing, it will be established unto you, and the light will shine upon thy ways. I decree that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Your going out, coming in is blessed in the name of Jesus. Nothing shall make you afraid. Nothing shall make you afraid. In Jesus' name. Go in this thy mind. Now, Samson, come. Let the authority that you are giving him, let it become evident. In Jesus' name. Now, can we rise on our feet? You are not expected to leave this meeting and go back the same. Please do something with me. If I say in the name of Jesus, say amen. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing someone you are putting on, but I see it in the spirit anyway. I see something like a necklace. Something like a necklace that is on your neck. But unfortunately, it's not the Lord that put that necklace there. That necklace is not from the Lord. And you have been carrying that necklace. Is a restrictive kind of influence of darkness. It will break now. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that was given something like a necklace that limits his or her possibility, in the name of Jesus, I destroy the power of that spell. I destroy the power of that spell in Jesus' mighty name. Satan, release your captive. No more amen. No more amen. Release your captive. Ushers, you will soon find the person. Release your captive. Release your captive. Satan, release your captive. Release your captive. Release your captive. Release your captive. Ushers, can you help me find that person? Seems the person is upstairs. Even if, oh, he's there. Alphonsus, help me get that person. They put something on the person. Anyone held under a spell, I command the spell, break! Ushers, when you find them, we need to evacuate. Use my handkerchief. Put on his head. Release your captive in the name of Jesus. You can no longer be bound. You can no longer be bound. You can no longer be bound. No. Just drop the person. Drop her. Sister, you. Now, that demon is on the waist. Right there, yeah? Put your hand there and pray. Now, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Loose her! Give me my handkerchief. Because I come in the name of the Lord, I say release your captives in the name of Jesus. Take. Put it on her head. Put it on her head. Your hold can no longer stay. Your captive in Jesus' name. Something just broke off somebody's stomach. Something just broke off your stomach. Something just broke off your stomach. It broke now. Let the chains be broken in the name of Jesus. On her head, just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. She's coming out. 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 Someone totally sold to the devil through covenant, the right for Satan to manipulate that destiny was given. But you know what? We come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I make demands on heaven right now for the release of that soul. I make demands for the release of that soul. Let her go! Elito come seke. You were sold for naught. And you shall be bought with that money. Oh. Satan. Release her womb. Release her womb. Release. 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 In the name of Jesus. You were sold for naught. Bring that one. And ye shall be bought without money. Ye shall be bought without money. Bring her this way, this way. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Sister, say restore. Say it three times. Stop. Satan, you heard her. Now, let her go. Restore. Let your yoke break. Yeah. I'm seeing something. It's a strange sight. In fact, I've never seen this sight before. I see a demon. And this demon normally chokes. There's somebody chokes. A demon. And in fact, the person was choked 3 days ago, 3 nights ago. You were choked as if your life will leave you. Come. You know why he's running? He's a body. He's a body. Don't trouble him. Meanwhile, oh my God. Lord, let this yoke be broken. Let this yoke be broken. You see, as I pray for you, I see a woman. I see a relative of yours. Responsible for a certain kind of bondage that is your family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bring your judgment on this woman. Oh, your transactions, your trades, the exchange that you are doing is hereby nullified in the name of Jesus. Fumigation. You know, a serpent can be somewhere, you just fumigate, it will come out. So you see, this is fumigation. 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 And so we ask Holy Ghost that you fumigate this place. Fumigate this place. Things will begin to come out now. Fumigate this place. Let anything that is hiding, let it be released, revealed by power. By power. By power. By power. By power. By power. It's fumigation. Fumigation. Let it be revealed by power. Thank you, Father. By power. By power. It can be revealed by power. A manifestation can be occasion so that it is revealed. The stronghold of the enemy. That grip of darkness, I challenge it. I challenge it. I challenge it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, your time is up. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost, I am. Everywhere. I want to invite you specially to be on the crusade ground this night. The works of Satan will be spoiled this night. To be spoiled. Such things as I have seen, those are the things that I speak of. The works of Satan will be spoiled this night. God bless you. In Jesus' name.